I think you should salute the person who made that. The person who created that person.
Oh, T.I.
the person who created T.I. Okay. Keep going further.
Yeah. I'll call him.
Because the whole world is watching and the paparazzi is flocking and we flash it when we drop in and we shut down your party, man. His and
John in Tennessee, go ahead. What you want to say?
That shit is fucking trash, dog. Get the fuck up the airway.
Alright, okay. Back on duty. So banking deposits, there's usually someone who just stands at the front and they sort of blurt this stuff out and you sort of jot down anything you could capture, even if it doesn't make sense. As a matter of fact, I actually can think back to a class I went to where someone copied something down and I asked them what that means and they said, I don't know, I just copied it. So this is sort of the position that we're stuck in. Now then, whilst all of that is happening, we've not even got to the content of what's going on in these schoolings. And at the same time, this need to decolonize the academy, something we're going to focus on in the third part, and how the academy reproduces these same patterns of domination and exclusion. This is Blyden talking. Okay, here we go. I'm trying to remember this part. Yeah, Blyden was one of the earlier thinkers, Pan-African thought, who was, thank you, delivering. He was a Pan-Africanist church minister and educator who sails from St. Thomas in the Danish West Indies to Liberia, created by America, the American Colonization Society. In 1880, he became the president of Liberia College, and in his commencement address, he spoke about the need to decolonize knowledge with the colonial tools, how to relate the knowledge of systems of an elite academy to the living knowledge traditions of the indigenous people. Now, that part there, which might just fly over our heads, comes back to that question when we're talking about academics and how what they're saying doesn't make sense to us. Or even the Winter text, which might have went over our heads, as opposed to trying to appreciate that she is trying to disentangle this world, this environment in which we're in. She is trying to demystify what's going on, to decode things. And so when we're talking about this need to, again, marry the academy with the world, think about this ongoing discussion, the fact that from the 1880s, and obviously earlier, this has been spoken about. And yet, why does this persist? The same pattern of domination, the same pattern of alienation, the same idea where we're still trying to decolonize the academy, as we were back then, even now. 1492, 1612, 1834, blah, blah, blah. Irrespective of the time, you will always have the same pattern of domination. Why does this persist? Thinking inside the box. Touched on this last week, talking about people being a little too late. This was Goodwin Woodson. And he said, the part I wanted to take from this is where he says, they live in a world, but they are not of it. Speaking about apparent leaders, how whilst they should be responsible for ensuring the protection and preservation of their peoples, instead they're on the back foot, always responding to things once it's already happened. I think back to Alton Maddox, he made a statement, it pertains to black people, but I'm sure it's a lot wider than that. It's something his grandmother used to say to him, is that if black people were birds, they'd be flying backwards. That's sort of what's being said here. This is more stuff from the Miseducation of the Negro. Okay, this is Huey Newton talking about. Okay, there we are. More. Okay, Woodson says that in school, the student is drilled with the idea that they are inferior. In a thousand different ways, one of the primary ways in which this happens is language, where they come to associate certain words with certain people, whilst words which they associate with themselves, they come to also associate with degradation. So these are words which are in our everyday usage. And just think about what these terms imply, i.e. bright, buck, tar, white lie, blackmail, murky, niggardly, dark. I can't remember why hate's there, but terms such as, yeah, that's it, hate. Because hate isn't something that's actually defined, it's not really pinned down. at the same time, mad is another one of those terms which isn't pinned down, but these are the type of things you're hearing in the academy. Coon TV, as you might call this. This is the type of stuff, once you leave school, you come home, you put on the television, this is what you'll probably be subjected to. And everybody's favourite slide. No, not this one. Not that one. Wait. Okay, this is... yeah, more stuff that you'll be... so you're done with the TV, you might look in magazines, this type of stuff that you're going to see. This is... if you're wondering what the sheet thing's about, can everyone see that? Make sense out of it, people at the back? It's saying, we don't believe your story, a wolf would never attack a sheep. Now, I don't know who behaved well at school or not, but if you ever got called into the teacher's office and you're trying to give your side of the story about what happened, it'll be, hell no, you're crazy. Or something along those lines. Again, talking about the banking system. And there we are. Okay. Yes, indeed. The ongoing pattern of degradation. And I like to think of this as a job interview. Now, show me what you got. Bow down. Give us everything. Again, no, shoot for there. Back to the literature. There's more images of degradation. Back to literature. Some of these have been texts that you have probably studied in school. You know the author? 10 Little Niggas? Agatha Christie.
Definitely.
Yep. And the interesting thing about Agatha Christie is I can't remember if it's second or third, but I believe she is the third best-selling author of all time. Now that's after the Bible and after Shakespeare. Third best-selling author. It's very interesting. What's that? There's a 50 Shades. Okay, this is, again, that was Cod's book. He was another Guyanese writer and theorist on education. Check it when you get home. Check it when you get home. Okay, this is back to Stokely Carmichael talking about white supremacy. Saying that we need to appreciate... Yeah, no one can give you your freedom. A man is born free. You may enslave a man after he is born free. And that is in fact what this country does. By bombarding you with images like these. And at the same time, taking away your self-concept. And again, think back to Fanon's talking about a colonial machine, which has to completely empty your mind. Okay. Next clip. Tenko Jones. I can't find that. I'm going to play a brief clip here. This is the context for this one. Is it's a group of people discussing the Million Man March, and as you're probably accustomed to, talking about the problems of black people and how we should solve them. And someone comes along and they make a comment saying that we need to stop with the analysis. Okay? I want you to look at how Tanko handles this. And then we're going to somehow see how we could get a break in here.